At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection, and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Countdown with Keith Olbermann is a production of iHeartRadio. On the Friday before an election crucial to the safeguarding of democracy in this nation, MSNBC fired its most outspoken and most probably its bravest host because Fox News complained about her. Where is the statement of protest about the firing of Tiffany Cross from Lawrence O'Donnell? Where is the anger from Chris Hayes? Where is the condemnation of a woman's voice silenced from Alex Wagner? Where is the threat to walk out, to boycott, to quit, to stand on principle from Rachel Maddow? Whatever happens in the voting tomorrow, remember at all times that you and I do not have a true friend or an ally at MSNBC, at CNN, at CBS, at ABC, we have television performers who will make sure they are seen in the easy fights, but when it is bad, who will draw a line and fight and protect one thing and one thing alone, their paychecks. We have the opposition, the caged, declawed, gutless, and entirely authorized official opposition. On Saturday, NBC News had to retract a story it put on the Today Show on Friday, in which reporter Miguel Almaguer refueled the entire right-wing conspiracy theory about the Trumpist terrorist attack on Paul Pelosi. Almaguer quoted an unnamed source who claimed Paul Pelosi didn't flee or tell responding officers he was in distress. It was entirely untrue. Almaguer simply took a right-wing disinformation talking point and put it on national television, even though it disagreed completely with the on-the-record police account. He might as well have been quoting Gateway Pundit. By the evening, he had handed Tucker Carlson a headline: NBC reveals explosive new details in Pelosi attack. Has Miguel Almaguer been fired? Has the vice president in charge of the Today Show, Libby Leist, been fired? Has the president of NBC News, Noah Oppenheim, been fired? Has the chairman of NBC News, Cesar Conde, been fired? Has the chairman of NBC Universal, Jeff Shell, been fired? No. Tiffany Cross was fired because Tucker Carlson complained about Tiffany Cross. And between her firing and the crackpot conspiracy theory the Today Show delivered, gift-wrapped, to Tucker Carlson, it is evident that right now the only discernible point of there being an NBC News and an MSNBC is to do Tucker Carlson's heavy lifting for him. And the faces of MSNBC, the people there who have made NBC more money in the last decade than NBC News has, have to this hour said nothing about the firing of Tiffany Cross because she dared to anger the propaganda machine at Fox, the one that would make Goebbels blush, and because she dared to call a theocratic fascist on the Supreme Court what he is. Just as those faces of MSNBC have said nothing about Almaguer and the Pelosi story, whether that was mere firing-level incompetence or it was firing-level sabotage of the truth. Just as those faces of MSNBC have said nothing about the parade of election deniers and Trump cultists and other Republicans who march through every week on Meet the Press while Chuck Todd does his best impression of Susan Collins and lets them spread their lies, but is quietly confident they have learned their lesson. NBC News is doing the work of those who would end democracy in this country. On occasion, they may be doing it inadvertently. It is possible Almaguer and the producers of the Today Show are just incompetent morons. God knows it's happened before over there. But in throwing out Tiffany Cross, they're not only silencing a valuable voice who might have become an essential one, but they are warning everybody else on the air at MSNBC that yes, this company has made several billion dollars in profits in the 15 years since that old guy, what was his name? Olberding? Since that guy inadvertently made us the sole home of accurate and liberal and progressive news coverage and commentary, and since he hired Maddow as his guest host and then spun her off to her own show, and then spun his next guest host, O'Donnell, off to his own show, and then spun his next guest host, Hayes, off to his own show, and auditioned Wagner to be his next guest host, they warned, MSNBC and NBC News did, Maddow and O'Donnell and Hayes and Wagner and all the others on the air there. Sure, we have made money, and sure, Tiffany Cross's show was just about the only one on our network with any ratings growth of any kind, but we fired her, and we leaked it to the Washington Post that she was fired in large part by another African-American woman because she was controversial. And NBC Universal cannot be controversial right now because, you know, fascists also buy Comcast cable packages and Peacock subscriptions, and you could be next. And you have now heard the responses of Maddow and Hayes and O'Donnell and Wagner. Silence. Silence with just a barely perceptible vibration of fear in the background. When asked on Comedy Central which state the Democrats could afford to lose, Tiffany Cross had made a joke about the phallic shape of the state of Florida and said, "Let's castrate Florida." Last month, she referred to Clarence Thomas as, quote, "Justice pubic hair on my Coke can." When Alyssa Farah, the former Trump propagandist, became a finalist to co-host The View TV show, Cross called her a tawdry turncoat Trump loyalist and said she had ridden his wave of open xenophobia and racism all the way to network television. And when the despicable racist Megyn Kelly, whom NBC is still paying off after having foolishly hired her in the belief she could bring racist viewers to NBC, when Megyn Kelly called her the most racist person on television, Cross responded by calling Kelly the blackface expert for having defended it on NBC. Defended blackface as a Halloween costume. You know, I would have been proud to have thought of saying any of those things on television. They are not just incisive and wounding and well-crafted and directed at the scum of the earth, like Megyn Kelly, like Clarence Thomas. But they have the added benefit of having been true. And then Tucker Carlson devoted an entire segment to Tiffany Cross and suggested her commentary was likely to instigate an anti-white movement in the United States that would be akin to the genocide in Rwanda. If that prediction was not so racist and so paranoid and so syphilitic in its thinking, it would be, frankly, hilarious. Tucker Carlson suggested that all the black people would rise up and kill us in our beds because of the woman who hosted 2 hours on MSNBC on Saturdays. On Saturday mornings. But all NBC executives could see was controversy as opposed to truth. Tucker Carlson attacks truth. And at NBC, defending truth, defending your people, defending the true victims of racism, defending democracy, defending America, that's, you know, sometimes controversial. You can't do that. You will be quiet. You will be quiet, Alex Wagner, Chris Hayes, Lawrence O'Donnell, Rachel Maddow. I have left MSNBC's 7 p.m. host Joy Reid out of this because she said something on Friday night. It was personal and not professional. I wish it had been more, but compared to what the other hosts did not say, she is on the Mount Rushmore of putting herself at just a little risk to defend what is right. And O'Donnell? I'm not surprised. Lawrence O'Donnell is a snake. Lawrence O'Donnell had been buried so deep by MSNBC that when he was pitched to me as the new guest host for Countdown, after we finally got Rachel her own show in 2008, he no longer had a valid login to the in-house production computer. I was hesitant, but hopeful. Then in February of 2010, I took about a 4-week leave of absence because after 7 months in the hospital, my dad was dying, and I would have to make the decision when. Lawrence O'Donnell spent that 4 weeks filling in for me, trying to get me fired as the host of Countdown so he could replace me. And when that did not work, he sweet-talked all of the producers to try to get them to go with him to a new 10 p.m. show that he would anchor. And 3 or 4 of them actually went with him. And one of them told me recently that anything I could think to do to her as revenge for that, Lawrence O'Donnell had already done it for me. I do find myself mystified, however, about the silence here of Chris Hayes. If you remember, and I do not expect you to, I barely have kept a diary of my career. I don't believe anybody else has. But after the 2010 elections, I revealed I had donated to the campaigns of 3 Democrats who had received multiple death threats and as a result had had to spend excessively on security in the waning days of their campaigns. The donations each came literally after the last time I had covered or mentioned any of them on the air. One of them was Gabby Giffords. The suspension for violating NBC News employee guidelines was overturned in about 48 hours by the NBC lawyers when they explained to the then news president that to save money, they had written a contract that specifically and repeatedly stated that I was not an NBC News employee. So you could not suspend me for violating the rules of NBC News employees. Even Fox News commentators thought this was moronic, as one said, "Oh no, Olbermann is a Democrat? Who knew?" Before they were hoist on their own petard, NBC executives asked one person to fill in for me that night. It was Chris Hayes. To his credit, at least in my book, he refused. Then again, he did not have a multi-million-dollar contract with MSNBC then, did he? And a show that has been on for 9 years without showing any kind of ratings growth whatsoever or providing anything of substance, like he could provide now by saying that what is right is right and what is wrong, and even if it is your bosses doing the wrong thing, maybe because it is your bosses doing the wrong thing, you have to stand up and say something, Chris Hayes, as you did before. He did stand up before. And so I am sad to tell you, did Rachel Maddow. I told this saga at length early on in this series. On the 2nd of June 2009, we were all summoned, all the primetime hosts, all the primetime producers, everybody who was in New York, we were summoned to the 52nd floor of 30 Rock to the office of the president of NBC, Jeff Zucker, who displayed rare agitation and even panic and explained that the chairman of our parent company, GE, was enraged. In response to my mostly on-air criticisms of Fox News, Fox News was attacking GE and its chairman. His name was Jeff Immelt. And Bill O'Reilly was attacking GE and Jeff Immelt. And Jeff Immelt's own mother, a Bill O'Reilly viewer, was attacking GE and her own son. And Jeff Immelt said to Jeff Zucker, if he heard another word about Fox News on MSNBC or another word about himself on Fox News, he was going to take MSNBC off the air immediately. Shut it down. Fire everybody. Pay off all the contracts. The $300 million in profits we had just started to earn for him was not worth it. And for a tense 40 minutes or so, we tried to work out, mostly it was me and Zucker, what to do to keep this from happening. Well, finally, I suggested we should suspend all references to Fox News while we tried to keep our CEO, who wasn't really much of a businessman, apparently, from turning off the lights and throwing back the $300 million. Maybe 2 weeks, we could stand it. 3 weeks, some short period of time like that. And if it didn't work out, well, then it was going to go and explode. But we could give it a couple of weeks and still retain our dignity and our journalistic sincerity. And then Rachel Maddow, when her show was not quite 9 months old, said, excuse me, I will not have the content of my show dictated by any corporation, including the one I work for, and especially one I don't work for. I will walk out first. I cannot have the audience wondering what else I have not told them. I got a little cold as I heard her say this. She was right. I was willing to do the same thing, but I wanted to give it 2 weeks first. She added, I don't do a lot about Fox on my show, but if there is a story about Fox, I will not honor this freeze. I will report it, and if I am prevented from doing so, I will leave. Rachel Maddow threatened to quit over a matter of principle, and coincidentally enough, about Fox News as well. I had done this myself at MSNBC 3 times. Once right after I signed a contract to return to the network in 2003, and they had broken agreement that the fascist commentator Michael Savage would never appear on Countdown. I called a cab. I was walking out the front hallway when they backed down. Then about 4.5 years later, it turned out they had lied to me when they told me they had given a contributor's contract to a brilliant talent who I thought would make an even more brilliant host, and they hadn't given her the contract, and we were now going to lose her right then, right that moment, to CNN because Larry King was willing to pay her $250 to appear with him on a primary night, and she was short of cash. It was Rachel Maddow. I said, if you do not hire her, I will walk out in the middle of our election coverage tonight. I'm not going to tell you when. They hired her. And the third time was when they told me that starting in 2011, conservative contributors would be assigned to my show to give Countdown, quote, balance. And I said that was a betrayal of our audience, and I would leave. And it was one of about a dozen reasons I left. I left. When Rachel Maddow said she'd had enough of the grind of a nightly show, MSNBC gave her $30 million per year to do one show a week and work on other projects, and mostly they gave her the money to prevent her from going to Sirius XM radio for nearly that much money. They gave her $30 million, in essence, to ice her, to shut her up. And now has come a test. A liberal voice, edgy, maybe too wise-ass for some viewers, but to be fair, I invented MSNBC viewers. I never heard any of them complain that any of us were too wise-ass. This liberal, edgy voice has been silenced, and they did it on a Friday afternoon, the hour for the proverbial news garbage dump. They did it after Megyn Kelly complained. They did it after Tucker Carlson complained. They did it after Fox News complained. They did it. And Lawrence O'Donnell said nothing, and Alex Wagner said nothing, and Chris Hayes said nothing. And once upon a time, that moment should have been the time when Rachel Maddow would have said something. Because courage and ethics and leadership and patriotism and the fight against television political content being the sole property of corporations, and the bright red line that says I cannot have my audience wondering what else I did not stand up for and who else I did not stand up for. Those things are not expressed when you get one page of Donald Trump's tax returns and you spend 45 minutes hyping it to the audience like a carnival barker selling Ms. Maddow's magic elixir to the rubes. Courage and ethics and leadership and patriotism and the defense of journalism is when, if you say something, they might just take your millions away from you, and you have to decide which would you rather have taken away from you, the millions, more millions than you could ever spend, or your ethics and your soul and the very essence of the reason you do what you do and the very essence of why you have fought 1,000 fights for lesser things. It is in a moment like this, the silencing of somebody else who does what you do, somebody with no power, somebody with no millions, somebody with no legend, somebody with no longevity, somebody with no permanent base, the silence of somebody who is now what you were in your second year. It is in a moment like this when silence is collaboration. As I burned countless bridges to get her own show, of all the things I ever thought I would hear myself say in the future to her or about her, these words were not in my wildest dreams nor my worst nightmares. Rachel Maddow, will you pretend this is not your problem? Or will you stand up for what is right here? You know, like you used to. Still ahead, DeSantis versus Trump. Win-win. I haven't looked in 15 minutes. Has Elon Musk turned Twitter into a site that steals your passwords and takes your computer hostage? Or not yet? That later today. World Series parade time. If the Astros get a parade, they should also have made the Phillies walk back to Philadelphia. And only the most ardent of old-time SportsCenter fans will recognize this name, Vinny the Statman, in memoriam. That's next. This is Countdown.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Countdown with Keith Olbermann.
And still ahead on Countdown, Dan Crenshaw admits the big lie is a big lie. In Twitter news, has he finished destroying Twitter yet? A terrible hockey controversy ends when the team in question says, we kind of screwed up, it's over. And Jason Whitlock, racist, sexist, and homophobic, and all in the same sentence. First, in each edition of Countdown, we feature a dog in need. You can help. Every dog has its day. Poor Ace desperately needs a foster or adopter anywhere from Virginia to Maine. Anybody who can come to New York to get him. He's a big tan-colored mix of some kind, giant shepherd ears. He's well-behaved. He was dumped because his human claimed to have suddenly become allergic. He does not need pledges. He has pledges. He needs somewhere to go, short-term or long-term, or simply put, they will kill him. If you can provide that place to land, reply to my tweet either in my personal account or the one about Ace that will be in the pinned tweet on my account for dogs in need at Tom Jumbo Grumbo. Ace needs a home from Virginia to Maine. Free unconditional love is yours. And thank you. Postscripts to the news, some headlines, some updates, some snark, some predictions. Dateline Countdown headquarters here in the Sports Capsule building in New York City. Everybody else will tell you what they think will happen tomorrow in the midterms. I will make only one prediction. Somewhere between a third and a half of the critical Senate and House races will be too close to call before Wednesday at the earliest. And all of the Republican losses will be called fixes, even though Republican Congressman Dan Crenshaw has revealed on a podcast that the Trump 2020 thing, quote, was always a lie, and it was a lie meant to rile people up. Crenshaw adding, the others, they're like, yeah, we know that, but people just need their last hurrah. They just need to feel like we fought one last time. Trust me, it'll be fine. And I was like, no, it won't. Dateline Tallahassee. After Trump tagged DeSantis with a cumbersome nickname Saturday night, Ron DeSanctimonious, the only gossip columnist covering the presidential campaign for the New York Times, Maggie Haberman, tweeted, several DeSantis allies, some also close to Trump, texted last night and this morning unprompted, expressing private anger and even disgust with Trump for his remarks about the Florida governor. Say they're telling DeSantis and his family and his top aides to still move toward 24 bid. Translation, I never thought he'd eat my face, says man who joined the Leopards Eating People's Faces party. And Dateline Tallahassee, speaking of DeSantis and his family, his wife put this thing out. It is a commercial that basically claims that after God created the universe in 7 days, God spent the eighth day creating Ron DeSantis. No, seriously.
And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a protector. So God made a fighter. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, kiss his family goodbye, travel thousands of miles.
And eat waffles. 2 minutes of that. Two notes. One, remember me telling you about the paranoid radio commentator I used to back up, Paul Harvey? Whoever voiced that commercial is doing a good impression of Paul Harvey. And two, if you are now ever in the same room with Ron DeSantis after that commercial, do not stand too close to him, because if there is a God, he will soon smote him with some big-time lightning. And Dateline Latrobe, Pennsylvania, just before an election in which your opponent has made the premise stick that you are not really from Pennsylvania, probably a poor idea for Mehmet Oz to tell people at his Saturday rally with Trump that they needed to contact 10 people each to get them to vote for Oz, and that they should do it yesterday morning, quote, before the Steelers game. The Steelers, as Oz's opponent John Fetterman pointed out, had yesterday off. And that Latrobe rally also answered a question I frequently hear, and I've even asked myself, in the largest sense of this question, how did America get into this mess? Well, listen to this guy from Saturday at the Trump rally in Pennsylvania, and I think you'll have your answer.
And the world is relying on the United States of America to do the right thing. If we lose, they all lose. And that's a big problem. You have Australians voting for us. All these other countries, the people, are voting for the United States to win this election. And if we don't win it, it's trouble for every country, not just our own.
Yes, he's the answer to that question. How did America get into this mess? Because we are surrounded by idiots. Speaking of which, Dateline San Francisco. Remember the day he took over when Elon Musk walked into Twitter headquarters carrying a sink because he thought then saying, "Let that sink in," would be funny? I'm beginning to think the fixture he should have carried in with him was in fact a toilet. Or maybe a burning dumpster. Upon purchase, Musk had declared comedy is now legal on Twitter. But after a series of verified accounts, Valerie Bertinelli, Kathy Griffin, others, mocked him and used his name as their account name, Musk declared he would permanently ban anybody using anybody else's name without specifying parody. And he then banned Griffin and a couple of others. But he also declared widespread verification will democratize journalism, even though he also eliminated verification. He also announced he intended to make Twitter the most accurate source of information about the world. He also liked a meme supposedly including a quote from Voltaire about who rules over you, except the quote is not from Voltaire. It's actually from an American neo-Nazi pedophile. Elon Musk is about halfway to becoming Kanye West. More practically, several tech reporters revealing that after Musk fired thousands of Twitter employees by email Friday, many of the dismissed staffers then got invitations to return, in part because Musk fired at least two teams that were working on new projects that Musk wanted to launch immediately, fired all the people working on the most urgent problems, which might explain why, so far, people paying the $8 fee for Twitter Blue have not gotten the blue check mark. That was supposed to be the whole point of paying the $8.
This is SportsCenter. Wait, check that. Not anymore. This is Countdown with Keith Olbermann.
In sports, World Series parade today in Houston, though honestly it was such a bad World Series that after the parade is over, they ought to make the Philadelphia Phillies clean up the route. The Phillies went up 2-1 on the Astros, and then in the last three games, they got a total of 9 hits and a total of 3 runs, and the Astros won out. Phillies finished with the worst team batting average in a series that lasted at least 6 games, 159. They struck out 71 times in those 6 games, the most in any World Series. JT Realmuto struck out 12 times, Rhys Hoskins and Nick Castellanos 10 times each, and this is why baseball's playoff structure is completely invalid. The 6th-place team in one league can get hot for a while, even reach the World Series as the Phillies did, but eventually they will be blown out if they happen to face the first-place team in the other league, like the Astros. Free agency is starting in baseball. Reliever Edwin Diaz re-signs with the Mets, but a bad sign in Atlanta. Uh-oh. Their free agent shortstop Dansby Swanson has unfollowed the team on Instagram. Oh. Thank you, Nancy Faust. And total disaster in hockey. Boston's Bruins signed prospect Mitchell Miller, a 2020 top draft choice whose rights were then renounced by the Coyotes because he had spent years abusing and racially taunting a developmentally challenged classmate. After the Bruins signed Miller, their leading players criticized the move. NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman said, "You should have asked. Miller is not eligible to play in the NHL right now and may never be." And late last night, the Bruins suddenly dropped Miller, with team president Cam Neely announcing, quote, "Based on new information, we believe it is the best decision at this time to rescind the opportunity for Mitchell Miller to represent the Boston Bruins." The new information must have been, "Everybody is swearing at us." Also, I must have missed this. When were the Bruins sold to Elon Musk? Ahead, in memory of Vinny the Statman. First, the daily roundup of the miscreants, morons, and Dunning-Kruger effect specimens who constitute today's worst persons in the world. The bronze to Matt Gaetz and Jim Gordon, Jim Jordan, the Mutt and Jeff of the Minority Caucus on the House Judiciary Committee. They put out and pimped and pushed and promoted a, quote, 1,000-page report on the politicizing of the FBI and the Department of Justice. It is actually 1,050 pages long, and 1,000 of the 1,050 pages are just copies of letters that Republicans have sent to the White House. In the document, one five-page letter is reproduced 94 different times. 290 of the 1,050 pages are just signatures. On the other hand, none of the 100 or 1,050 pages say, this space is for autographs. The silver, Mark Levin, the Fox News and radio castrato, who dropped the mask, went off on a tirade about how Democrats support slavery and Jim Crow, and then he gave up the secret of all secrets. As if that gives balance to the rise of anti-Semitism in the Democrat Party and the rise of racism against the white supremacist majority. The white supremacist majority. Hard to believe that one of these fascists would actually admit that they are white supremacists? In May 2007, Bill O'Reilly told John McCain on Fox News that the left, quote, wants to break down the white Christian male power structure of which you and I are a part. Am I wrong? And John McCain said to Bill O'Reilly about the white male power structure, no, you're right. But our winner, Jason Whitlock, who works at the Glenn Beck website, The Blaze, in a rare triple play, Whitlock went on Tucker Carlson's hate fest, and based on that false NBC story about the Pelosis I mentioned a little earlier, Whitlock managed to be homophobic, misogynistic, and racist in one sentence. Whitlock said of Nancy Pelosi, let me emphasize I am quoting him, has invested in a pair of cans at 82 years old and comes home to find out that her husband is playing hide the hammer with a Black Lives Matter guy and he is not interested, unquote. Whitlock then repeated that, just in case you didn't hear his degeneracy the first time. Jason Whitlock was once with an actual newspaper, the Kansas City Star, and he was twice with ESPN. In fact, he was once given his own ESPN website to manage. And 18 months later, when he still had not managed to launch it, they fired him. And now he has brought out, on the last step down on the ladder of life, Nazi TV. They bring him out to make gay jokes like a trained horse that can count by stomping one hoof on the ground. Jason, have some self-respect. Join a monastery with a vow of silence, Whitlock. Today's worst person in the world!
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix. Terminix can't help you run for office or take on the country's biggest problems, but they can help you solve one of the peskiest problems at home, pests. You know, the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, even the termites in the walls. Because when pests show up, so does Terminix. No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control. Their expertly trained technicians may not know intricate political strategy, but they know their local pest pressures. And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good. Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere. So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it, Terminix it. Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today. That's T-E-R-M-I-N-I-X.com to book online today.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
To the number one story on the countdown and my favorite topic, me and things I promise not to tell. I had just thought of him with fondness at most a week or two ago. An entire series of conversations came back to me almost intact. He was our researcher on the 11 p.m. edition of SportsCenter 30 years ago. Vinny Vassallo. Vinny the Statman, as Dan Patrick had named him long before I even got to ESPN. Vinny was invaluable and genuinely gifted at what he did, and marvelously serene. But his real value to me as a friend was the reality that whereas there were a lot of good things to being at a workplace that dealt with virtually nothing but sports, intellectual variety was not one of those good things. There was a lot of discussion about music and a little about television, but mostly about sports. Again and again and again and again. Then one day, a production assistant, he's an executive there now, saw on my desk my copy of God's Chinese Son, a book about the 19th century Taiping Rebellion in China. And he asked if it was any good, and I said yes. And he said 19th century China fascinated him, and he was thinking of buying the book. And I said, don't borrow mine, but for God's sakes, can we then sit and talk about it afterwards? I think we may be the only people here who know that there was a 19th century. I mean, for the longest time, I literally could find nobody else at ESPN who even watched what might have been the funniest situation comedy in American television history, which was on then in real time, called The Larry Sanders Show. It was on HBO. It was not slapstick. It was not mainstream. It cost money. And then one day we were at the show planning meeting that started our day at ESPN, the one in the conference room that had the beautiful view of the empty lot across the street that was reputed to be actually a toxic waste dump site. And somebody said something, and I used the phrase, hey now, of the Larry Sanders Show character Hank Kingsley, and only one person laughed, and it was Vinny, our researcher. And he said in his archetypical New England accent, KO, should have known you were the other guy watching Larry Sanders. After the meeting broke, Vinny and I sat there throwing lines at each other from this amazing program depicting the behind-the-scenes story of a TV talk show host, part Letterman, part Leno, part Carson, with Gary Shandling in the title role, and Jeffrey Tambor as Kingsley, and the insane Rip Torn as Artie, the producer whose last name was never mentioned, not once, and who could never go back to New York again because of cops or the mob or a woman or something. From then on, every day after a new episode of Larry Sanders, we would dissect it like the fanboys we were. And often on the stage of SportsCenter during the show, when he would hand me one of his cards, 5x7 white index cards with the score and anything else relevant he could find in those pre-internet days that was supplied to Dan or to me in the moments before we were to do a highlight of a game, Vinny would mutter a line from Artie or Hank or Larry, or yet better than that, it would be written in one corner of my card. Larry Sanders was on, if I remember right, at 10 p.m. on Wednesdays. We, SportsCenter, we were on at 11 or 11:30 on Wednesdays. So to watch it meant recording it, and to record it meant VHS cassettes and timers and finally sitting down when you got home at 1 a.m. or 1:30 or whenever, because you could not wait until the next day to watch. At least not if you were Vinny the Statman or one of his anchors, KO. And finally there came the night. I can see myself watching in my living room in Southington, Connecticut, on the big rear screen projection TV I had, the only house in the whole neighborhood with lights on at that hour. I can see myself enjoying the new Larry Sanders show so much, because it's not just funny, it's about my industry. And Artie the producer is every producer I've ever worked with rolled into one undulating mess. And in this one episode, in the middle of the night, Artie is helping Larry rehearse a sketch in which he rides a horse, and in the middle of the rehearsal, Larry complains about his groin, and Artie, the producer, shouts, "Ice! KO! Vinny! Ice for Larry's balls!" I thought it was hallucinating. KO? Vinny? Of all the names possible for two never-to-be-seen stagehand characters on the Larry Sanders Show, they chose the names KO and Vinny? The odds against that coincidence were impossibly high. I had to rewind the tape and watch it again, which is when the phone rang at 1:30 or so of a Wednesday night, Thursday morning. KO, it's Vinny. Did you hear it? Did he really say it, or am I hallucinating? KO and Vinny, like they knew we were watching. Only problem is now I'll spend every episode wondering if we're ever going to see us on the show. I mean them on the show. You know what I mean. In that way and many others, Vinny Vassallo helped me adjust to the strange new world of ESPN, to which I moved directly from a top-floor condo in Beverly Hills. And he was, I used the word before, serene. His job was as high-pressure as Dan's or mine or anybody else's on the 11 p.m. Sports Center, at certain times far more so. He was alone at a desk in an alcove to our right, and he had to keep track of and write by hand anything interesting about, and update constantly and hand to the correct anchor these cards detailing as many as 40 different sporting events in one night, one of these nights, say, in April, when baseball, basketball, and hockey were all going at full volume at the same time. And he's wearing a headset, and the producer is talking to him. Dan had made him special with that nickname of Vinny the Statman, and during commercial breaks, Dan would often shout the name at him looking for information. I only called him Vin or Vinny. We talked a lot about Larry Sanders. We talked a lot about the things that made ESPN an often maddening place to work. We talked a lot about other people there that made our show an often maddening place to work. But he almost always smiled, either sincerely or satirically. And more than once, he talked me off ledges and talked me into putting down the figurative grenades, or at least the memo I was going to send. I believe, I cannot swear to this, but I believe that it was Vinny on the job on the night of the most famous, or probably infamous, research crisis in the history of SportsCenter. May 3rd, 1995. A brand new production assistant races into the studio from the editing rooms with the shot sheet, the list of plays that the headed edited highlights will show, and she tells all who will listen that she has to talk to Dan about these highlights. So which one is Dan? Because there's a really tough name in the highlights, and she wants to make sure Dan knows how to say it. The Detroit Tigers have used a rookie pitcher, making his home debut in Detroit, and that pitcher's name is Ben Blodahl. There's a silence just like that one, and then I say, "No, it's not." And Vinny stifles a laugh, and he says, "I don't think so." And the floor director says, "One minute back." I will have the first two highlights of the segment that will begin after that 1 minute. Then Dan will do his Blodahl highlight. I should be worrying about my two games, but seeing by now Dan has begun to projectile sweat at the thought of saying Ben Blodahl on national television. So Vinny says, "KO, what do we do? Do you know what he's talking about? What she's talking about? You know what anybody's talking about?" And I say, "No, that's why I'm kind of sure it's not Blodahl. Because if his name really were Blodahl, I would have heard of him. Come to think of it, if it were Blodol, he would have changed it, right? Dan Patrick is now in abject terror. What do I say? I tell him to skip the name. At this point, the production assistant interrupts cheerfully. You can't skip it. They told me to make a big deal out of it. There's about 30 seconds of him. It's a long time in one highlight, and even in 1992. Now the terrible truth has emerged. The new production assistant has been pranked into putting in highlights, things that are not highlights. And the person who's going to pay the price for this prank is Dan. Vinny, I say, get the Tiger Media Guide, get the American League Red Book. Pronunciation's got to be in one of them, maybe both. Throw me the one you find first. 30 seconds, shouts the stage manager. For God's sake, says Dan. Vinny tosses me the Tiger Media Guide. It goes a good 20 feet right to my hands. I open it, and then he opens up the American League Master Media Guide, the Red Book. 10 seconds, we find the name and the pronunciation simultaneously. 5 seconds. He and I shout to Dan as if we had rehearsed it. It's Blumdahl! Blumdahl! There is a 1 second pause. From the corner of my eye, I can see Dan hyperventilating. The director then cues me in my earpiece and I say, we rejoin you with the highlights from the American League. During the next commercial break, the studio erupts with laughter. Vinny Vassato comes out from the research alcove to hand Dan and I our cards for the next segment's games. Good old Benny Blodol Blumdahl, he says. We'll have to put his picture up here somewhere. And I say, ice, KO, Benny, ice for Dan's. You get the idea. The email came in late Friday night from one of our other great researchers at ESPN, later the head of that department, Craig Wax. It was a link to an obituary in the Worcester Telegram. The obituary was of Vinny Vassato. He had been sick. The funeral is today in Worcester, Mass. There are references in this obituary to dialysis and to contributions to the American Diabetes Association and to mitochondrial research. Vinny died in a nursing facility in Farmington, Connecticut, 15 minutes from the ESPN campus in Bristol. He died last Tuesday. I think it had been a couple of decades since I talked to him, but I'd always felt as if he had been nearby. Yet there were facts in there I never knew. He was one of 10 kids. No wonder dealing with us two idiots was so easy. And he had 2 sons, Camden and Dalton. I'd known that he had moved within ESPN from research into management somewhere in the office, maybe the legal department, human resources. Then he went back into production and research and producing, and then he left the company and he went to work for the Nesson Sports Network in Boston. Then he came back to ESPN to work as a producer. I did not know he had gotten a paralegal degree and worked for a time at the Superior Court in Middletown in Connecticut. Next part I knew. It's there in the obit. I'll read it. His prodigious knowledge of sports earned him the on-air nickname from the sportscasters at ESPN of Vinny the Statman. He was the Google for sports before there was Google, and he could be counted on to deliver the data. And there's a photo. Couldn't tell you how old it is or how old he is in it. The hair is a little shorter, but the reassuring and serene smile is there. Vinny Vassato was 61 years old. Thanks for listening. Follow this podcast if you can. Tell a friend if you would. We are number one among news and political podcasts not produced by a network. I'd like to keep it that way. These are our credits. Most of the music, including our theme from Beethoven's Ninth, was arranged, produced, and performed by Brian Ray and John Philip Chanel. They are the Countdown musical directors. All orchestration and keyboards by John Philip Chanel. Guitars, bass, and drums by Brian Ray, produced by TKO Brothers. Other Beethoven selections have been arranged and performed by No Horns Allowed. The sports music is the Olbermann theme from ESPN2, and it was written by Mitch Warren Davis, courtesy of ESPN Inc. Musical comments come from Nancy Faust, the best baseball stadium organist ever. Our announcer today was Kenny Mayne. Everything else was pretty much my fault. So that is countdown for this, the 671st day since Donald Trump's first attempted coup against the democratically elected government of the United States. Arrest him now while we still can. I'll be back with a new episode tomorrow. Till then, I'm Keith Olbermann. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, and good luck. Countdown with Keith Olbermann is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax, Terminix can help. Because when pests show up, so does Terminix. With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast. If your home or business has pests, don't stress it. Terminix it. Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today. That's TERMINIX.com.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Woo!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high-five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.